Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Today we celebrate the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. And this is one of the holiest days of the church's year. It's one of these high holy days that I talked to you about that's equal to Christmas, equal to the Epiphany, etc. And yet, of all five of them, Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost, I think that... I mean, not that I've done a poll or anything, but I think that it is the one that Catholics have the most difficulty connecting to as to why it's important. Why does this matter that Jesus ascended into heaven? Why does it matter? Certainly, he was always capable of going to heaven. He rose from the dead. He's God. He could have gone anytime he liked. Why does it matter? Well, it matters for manifold reasons. I'm about capable of one-fold today. I think that it's appropriate that it's the ascension because my mind is in outer space already, so that's perfectly, you know, consonant with the feast day. Let me list off a number of them really quickly without expanding any of them. It's important because it fulfills his high priestly role. It's important because now human nature itself has been brought to heaven. It's important because he didn't lead us back to Eden, but into heaven itself. It's important because it's the only way he would be able to send the Holy Spirit from what he tells us. It's important because it transitions from him being in one place at one time to us being able to experience him everywhere whenever we celebrate Mass. All these things. But here's my one-fold. It's important because he went to heaven and laid the path for us. All those other things are rich aspects of the mystery, and this is the simplest aspect of the mystery. So one of those people think, well, he went to heaven, so now we can too. That's accurate. And it's what I want to talk about today. With this caveat, that in the opening prayer, we heard how he ascended into heaven, and so we prayed that we would even now live in spirit where he already is in body. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as we're coming to the end, really, of this whole year on the moral life, and it's not lost on me that during this homily it's when most of our parishioners are away with their kids on spring break, but whatever, it's fine, senior trip, whatever, it's great. We're going to talk about the height of the moral life. The height of the moral life. Because when Jesus ascends to heaven and calls us to live there in the Spirit while still on earth, that is not an easy call. And it's something that we've been pressing forward. Okay. So on Easter, we talked about new life. On Divine Mercy Sunday, we talked about the way that this new life was given to us in the Spirit. And then I've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you've really been registering them, if you've really been living with them, you really understand, I think, or I hope you do, how incredible these gifts are, how supernatural these gifts are, how they call us to a whole new way of being, beyond being just a good person, right? And let me run through all seven of them again, just so that you have the summary in your head, right? Fear of the Lord that gives us this grace to not even want to sin. Piety that allows us to find relish and joy in our duties, even the most difficult. Knowledge, which allows us to see earth as it is straight on. Courage, which allows us to rise up and trample fear even in the face of death. Counsel, where the Spirit tells us exactly what to do in a way we'd probably never planned. Understanding, which opens the words of the Scriptures and the words of faith so that suddenly they come alive. And all makes sense. And then, of course, as I mentioned last week, in the greatest of the gifts, wisdom. That gives us a taste of God's own truth. So that we can see all of reality in that light. Those are high gifts. Those are the promise of the Father that Jesus is talking about, at least in part. To let our soul unfurl and let the Spirit bear us up, that's huge. And dear brothers and sisters, this is the incredible thing I want to say to you. The challenging thing I want to say to you. The maybe terrifying thing I want to say to you. The gifts are not the highest form of the moral life. There is indeed something higher. And I need you to hear this. I'm going to tell you what they are in a second. I need you to hear this because I don't want it to become just words. I don't want it to become just abstraction. I don't want it to become just, oh, this is, you know, some kind of scheme that Father dreamed up and told us. No. This is like when you tell people it takes a long time to drive to El Paso. And they're like, I'm sure, right, whatever. And then they get to Houston and they're like, it's how far from here? Right? This is that. Okay. And I want us all to get a sense of this. Because our Lord calls us to this extraordinary height. And that height, even above the gifts, is the Beatitudes. So let me read them for you now, just so that you can hear them again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they will insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. I don't have a second Easter season to go through each one of these in detail. More importantly, if I'm going to be brutally, terribly honest with you, I couldn't anyway. I have at least tasted the gifts of the Holy Spirit from time to time in my life. If I were to talk about the Beatitudes, it would all be strict abstraction. I've never seen what that looks like from the inside. But I know I'm called to it. I don't like that I'm called to it. But I know I'm called to it. We all are. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let's be very clear that this is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, going up the mountain like Moses went up Mount Sinai to give us something so far in advance over the Ten Commandments. We started with the Ten Commandments about a year ago. And we went from there to the virtues, to the gifts, to this. And this is what he calls us to. Jesus' love is something very different from the way we imagine love today, especially in our contemporary age. We imagine that if somebody loves someone enough, they'll lower the bar for them. Jesus loves us enough to believe we can meet the bar right where it's at. And he helps us to do it. And so, on this Ascension Day, when he ascends into heaven, not to Mount Everest, not to the sky, not to Mars, not to Pluto, to heaven, all the way up, and then calls us to follow him while still on earth. Let's have a very clear idea of what that means. Because the way the Beatitudes are structured is very interesting. And priests and preachers have made this point for forever, but I'm going to make it again. Notice that they're parallels, right? It's blessed are, for they will. Blessed are, for they will. Blessed are, for they will. And it's only the second part that's in the future tense. And that's in the Greek. Blessed are they right now, for they will one day have this. And without the words of the gospel, and if you have never heard of the Beatitudes before, if I went around saying, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the persecuted, you'd be like, Father. Because the word blessed in Greek doesn't just mean like, oh, God likes you. It literally means fulfilled, joyful, completely radiant with happiness. How does that match up with what he says? And yet, he's the Lord. And so we can't say that he was fudging or lying or, you know, giving us a bar we couldn't meet. I told you. I don't know the Beatitudes from the inside. I'm still one of those that looks at them and goes, huh? And yet I've seen them alive in the lives of the saints. And it's the thing that keeps the saints furthest from my heart. So I don't know what it's like to live like that. They did. We are blessed now because he has already ascended into heaven and we live like we no longer walk the earth. Now I want to be very careful and clear about this. Last weekend I was very clear, in fact, that we do live in both heaven and earth at the same time. And that is absolutely true. We have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. And we can't hide from earth. We can't pretend earth doesn't exist. We can't pretend earth is dirty. We can't just go around condemning it. This doesn't change that. Instead, the Beatitudes tell us we have to live fully in earth. Without a single ounce of our love that doesn't belong to heaven. Now, we can love people on earth, we can love things on earth, but it has to be already completely purified and wrapped up with our hearts in heaven. Because God is in heaven, and he loves people on earth, and he loves things on earth. The saints are in heaven. And they love people on earth, and they love things on earth, but we all know they don't love them the way we do. I don't think the Blessed Virgin Mary is showing up at the Cheesecake Factory and ordering a slice. Okay. That's what we're called to. That is what he's challenged us to morally in the Ascension. I have given you the path. Follow me. Follow me. And that's what we hear today in the second reading, right? May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. Sounds like vague words until you start putting them in connection with the Beatitudes. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. What is the hope that belongs to his call? He's called us to this. What are the riches of glory and his inheritance among the... And then here they chose to translate it, holy ones, which is a completely fine translation. But for us today in English, it makes us miss what Paul actually says. The word he says is saints. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory and his inheritance among the saints. If you want to know, dear brothers and sisters, how much it takes to get to El Paso, if you want to know how much it takes to be a saint, to truly, genuinely be a saint, then I hope this year of moral teaching has given you some sense of the journey. Because it's not just about obeying the commandments. That's the beginning. That's the sine qua non. That's what you can't go beyond the first steps without. It's then about living the virtues. Congratulations, you've crossed over the Lake Charles Bridge and you're in Houston. You survived, right? And it's then about being inspired by the gifts. You've made it all the way to San Antonio. But you still have a long, hard desert to cross. And that's getting to where the Beatitudes become habits. And that's how the saints lived. And we cannot excuse ourselves from that, from the hope that belongs to his call. And so this Ascension Sunday, dear brothers and sisters, let's all pray. And I particularly want to say this prayer, but let's all pray. Let the Lord remind us of the true moral height that he's calling us to. Let he remind us that he loves us enough not to lower the bar. To remind us that he will give us the strength to get there if we let him. To remind us that howsoever good we might be now, we probably all still have a very long way to go. God bless you all.